Quiero rosa. In your name, Mizuzo. Okay. Maybe we'll start doing it a little differently today. But you start asking questions about Mizuzo, and I'll answer the questions, and then we'll develop it that way. This way. Yeah.
Is the parchment,
is that portion of the parchment
inside out?
Meaning, the parchment is supposed to be...
Writing inside.
Right, the writing inside.
Should I
have the
inside?
Right. That's, I guess, the derech to have a scroll that way. Is when you... And then we have a Sefer Torah, we do it that way also. So that's the way you're supposed to, you know, whenever the writing, the Ikkar writing is in the inside. And then you scroll it. Yeah, what else?
Why would you put on the outside?
So that's... Because again, the Ikkar Mezuzah is the inside, and so that's the part that's always whenever there's writing, the Ikkar writing is always on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be a certain type of shmirah or something like that. In other words, he says Shakai is also Shomer Dalsos Yisrael. So that's the. Represents perhaps the shmirah that you put on the outside.
Let's say it's a really big door and it doesn't matter where the mezuzah is.
What do you mean?
It's like really, really tall.
Yeah, right, so the halacha is that the mezuzah is supposed to be on the bottom of the top third. Right, that's in other words, the whole mezuzah is supposed to be in the top third. So it shouldn't be any lower than the top third. However, if you have a very big door, a very tall door, so then, the Yerushalmi says, quoted the Shach, that you don't put it on the bottom of the top third. You put it shoulder height. Right. So in other words, so if you're going to put it on the bottom of the top third, it's not even going to see it. And the point is, it should be, you know, while you're walking, you should be able to notice it. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says that if it's a very tall doorway, then the mezuzah is put on the bottom of the, not the bottom of the top third, but the shoulder height. Shoulder height.
How many days do you have to put up the mezuzah when you move in?
So if you buy the house, so then you have to put it up right away, as soon as you move in. If you're renting in Chutz La'aretz, so then you have, 30 days to put it in.
And if you don't put it within 30 days, do any halachos change regarding, tefillah and
curtains? Well, then if you didn't put it, then put it when you get it. But you're supposed to put it in. You have, 30 days to put it up.
If you say you have an apartment here, and you move out. If you know Jewish people are moving in,
are
you allowed to take the
mezuzah
off the door?
So if Jewish people are moving in, then you're supposed to leave it for them. But you could charge them for it. It's not a gift. And if they don't want to pay, then you could take it.
You charge $1 million.
No, you charge them what it's worth.
That's the rule.
That's the rule. Anything I'm telling you.
You're not allowed to just take it.
You're not allowed to just take it. If you don't know who's moving in or it's a guy, so then take it because you don't know what's going to happen.
But what do you know? I know some Jews moving in, you live in a Hawaii building.
So then if you know who they are, you have to go to them and say you're moving out. And you offer them to sell it to them. And if they're interested, they'll buy it off you. If they're not interested, then you can take it.
True. What
you mean if you don't know who's moving in? Most cases you move back to the landlord to find another person, so are you allowed to not ask? Just so that you can take me with it?
No, you should ask. If he knows who it is, then you have to speak to the person.
You should ask
the landlord. Yeah, you should ask who is the person who's moving in, and then you'll call up that person.
How often should the Mississippi be checked?
So, it's brought down that twice in 7 years it should be checked, but Rav Shechter once said over from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that today that our homes are protected and heat control and this. So maybe that din would only apply to the outdoor mezuzahs. And, you know, but the ones in the house, because the assumption was that in the winter it would be very cold and it would crack the letters, or in the summer it would be very hot and it would, but today we have the climate controlled. In other words, we have heat for the winter, we have, you know, cooling system for the summer. So we're basically controlling, so we don't have to worry about that. And the only time, as Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, you have to worry about it is the outdoor mezuzahs. So then the indoor mezuzahs, you just have to make sure that initially you got them from a reliable source. But sometimes you have to check them because you never got them from a reliable source initially. But if you know they were kosher and it was a reliable source, and the only question is checking it for the upkeep, so then it could be more leniencies as well as that.
How often is more
lenient? Then you don't have to check at all.
No?
Meaning once it's established that it's a chazaka, that it's good, unless something happened. Unless something happened that might lead you to believe that there's something might have gotten affected as a result.
What if you don't have a door post? It's just a glass wall and you have the door opens in and out.
Right, so then you don't, there's no door post.
There's still a door.
Yeah, like in Glock based measures. There's.
They
have mezuzah, but it's really, it's not, they don't need a mezuzah then. There's no doorpost there, so they have it even without a doorpost, so that's not necessary.
Which is not considered a door?
In other words, Hilchas Mezuzah says you need mezuzos, you need doorposts, and a mashkov. And if you don't have, it just has those glass doors and a wall. And the glass doors are in the middle of a wall, and that's not halakhically a structure of a door.
Even if they did have normal doors, doorposts outside of base measures, would you need outside of base measures?
Well, this is leading into the base measures.
I think that is a bit judge that Karach asked that question about.
Yeah, one second. This is I'm talking about the doors leading into the base measures on the right side near the bathroom.
Do you need
mezuzah going into a shul? So a shul, you don't need mezuzahs going into a shul. As Rabbi Abadi pointed out, no one lives in the shul. A base medrash, as two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch might be different. Because the base medrash, people are learning there the whole day. So therefore, the Shach says it looks like a dira.
What about classrooms?
Make your din don't need, as Rav Mari pointed out, don't need a mezuzah.
What about vacation homes?
Vacation homes, so you're there for in the summer.
They do.
What?
They do.
Yeah.
What about a sukkah?
A sukkah we hold is a dira sarai, so you don't need.
An office,
strictly speaking, you don't need. Some people put up, but strictly speaking, you don't need.
So back to the vacation home. Let's say you rent it out to non-Jews for most of the year. Would there be any problem with having mezuzah there?
No, unless you feel that the non-Jews are going to do something to the mezuzah, but most probably they won't necessarily.
And also, how about like a storage shed or like at least when they have like a barn or a stable or something like that.
Yeah, so storage is a machlokas aposkim. Machlokas the Rambam and the Rosh, where their storage place needs. So we pass in a storage place does need, but Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi both said that's only if the storage is near your place of dwelling. Let's say you just rent a storage place somewhere in the city, and you have a storage place, so then it has nothing to do with your dwelling, and then that would not need a mezuzah.
Like a barn or something, like when people have barns, stables.
Yeah, so that you have to look in Shulchan Aruch about that. But that's the general halacha about the storage.
If you live in a location that you're afraid to distinguish your home as being Jewish owned, could you take, like, from the front door, maybe not put mezuzah up in the back door or something?
I mean, the Torah is only if you feel that the non-Jews are going to mutilate the mezuzah. Now, sometimes front doors, as Rav Abadi pointed out, Meikir Din might not need a mezuzah if it opens up into a little room that's not, you know, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. So in that situation, according to some poskim, it would be absolved. But just say you're not doing it, you know, because you don't want people to know you're Jewish, I don't know if that necessarily is a tour, unless you think there's a real pikuach nefesh involved.
If you're going to live in a hotel for more than 30 days,
no, because Davnei Nezer has a tshuva where he says the idea of more than 30 days is because, strictly speaking, you have to own the house for it to be chayv mezuzah. But if you're there more than 30 days, then it's a mara sign that people think that you own the house until you're there more than 30 days. But like say you're in the hospital more than 30 days, and so no one's going to think, oh, he owns the hospital. Because it's obvious that he's... So the same thing by a hotel. The only thing is hotels, you have certain hotels that you could buy an apartment in the hotel. Right? Like the Plaza and Yerushalayim, they
If you own a place where you don't live, do you there?
If you own a place where you don't live, but you could go there, so then you and you usually keep a mezuzah there.
What difference is between whether you can go there or not?
I mean,
let's say I'm a landlord,
I don't have a house. You have a house that you're there in the summer and you're going to come back every summer.
Oh, you rent it out.
He's asking if you own like an apartment building or something where there's lots of non-Jews or something.
Well, the Gemara says I'm talking that renting is a chov on the person who's living there. The socher, not the maskia. Source of mezuzah is the pasuk in Chumash. Saftimam mezuzah b'secha v'shorecha.
So what does it have to do with Mitzrayim?
Who says that's from Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim they put it up on the mezuzah is the blood, but and the Gemara does not necessarily. I mean, the Gemara learns out some halachas one from the other. It doesn't necessarily say it's secha for that. What else?
Let's say the mezuzah has too much stuff in it. Like, let's say it has like more parsha than it's supposed to. Would that be okay?
Yeah. Well.
Let's say it has more. Like, let's. Could you? Like, let's say you had a whole. Like, is there a difference between the way to fill in? And mezuzah rin,
see what's.
No, I'm just wondering, like, obviously, if there's not, if you don't have all the parshiyot, it's probably not kosher mezuzah. But I was wondering if you had too much also.
Right, it has to be that amount. The requisite amount.
Does it all have to be on one cloth? Or, unless if for some reason you had a few different scraps, could you like put them all into the box? No.
Does mezuzah need sear to it?
Yes, so I think I was I think I was with her. What else are those?
If I actually did my parchment up inside out, is that okay with the other one? Because it's a glass case and it shows.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to look into it. I'd have to look into it for sure. I don't know if it's Makib or the Evid, but it's certainly not. Rav Shechta has a tshuva from the Lev Avraham about what if you put the mezuzah flat, and you just put it in the glass flat, you know, so you see the whole thing. So I think he says it's not, it's not following the minhag. Yeah, so you shouldn't go ahead and do that.
Is it proper to kiss the mezuzah when you walk in, or is it necessary?
Yeah, I mean, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch to put your hands on the mezuzah. Put your hands on the mezuzah, so kiss it. I mean, it's not the technical mitzvah, but it's, you know, it's brought down in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah from Onkelos, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So, there's what to say for that. But that's not really what the mitzvah is.
I'm saying, when you walk into a room, and they have a mezuzah, like, the most impractical place. So when you open the door, you can't reach the mezuzah. But, like, after you're inside the building already.
Where's that?
In Reuben. When you walk into Reuben, when you open the doors, the mezuzah ends up being in that, like, little opening between the door and the door post. Like, you can't get to the mezuzah until you're actually inside the building.
It doesn't have a door post, really.
It doesn't.
And I would have to look at it, but okay. But you mean because you can't put your hand there, you say?
Yeah, I'm saying you can't get your hand there until you're actually inside.
That's a proof you shouldn't have a little bit.
I'm saying so.
Yeah, so what can I tell you? That's the way it's made.
So should you still kiss
him
once you're inside already?
Yeah. As long as it's on the doorpost. On the vertical doorpost. That's where it's supposed to be.
And in our dorm rooms, you know how the mezuzah is supposed to be slanted slightly? It's barely slanted because our doorposts are straight.
Yeah, the Vilna Gaon's opinion was that it was straight, and we follow the minhag to slant it.
So on their doorposts are like more straight than slanted, is that right?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you would say it's just the mini is slanted.
Isn't there another one that's like horizontal and we do both or something?
Yeah, there was one opinion says that the mezuzah should be horizontal, the other opinion says it should be vertical. So we do both, not as a compromise like some want to say, but as because we hold that the opinion that holds horizontal holds that the that slanted is also good. If the pin holds it's vertical, slanted is also good.
Let's say you lived in a mobile home and you have to drive around sometimes. Would you, was that kind of house, so you should put this over there.
Give me the Shulchan Aruch Chelek Gimel. Where is your day Chelek Gimel? They went upstairs. No, what else?
Some people put pieces on their cars. Is that just they're going overboard?
Yeah, I don't think you're right. I don't think it's.
What if you sleep there? You know, are you a traveling agent?
Yeah, last night I was just at a wedding in Montreal, so there's a bus that leaves from Washington Heights every night, so I took the bus both ways, so I slept on the bus, but you don't put a mezuzah on the bus.
The minimum size everyone needs
today. It has to be dollar amos in the area. It's like 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, and 10 tefachim high.
What about RVs?
What is it?
RVs.
RVs.
Mobile homes.
Mobile homes. Yeah. So I'm gonna get it. He's gonna.
That's different. Mobile homes are a little different.
No. RVs are
same distance.
Some houses are movable, but some you put it on a trailer.
Mobile home, mobile home, RV.
Houses.
Yeah, mobile home would be put on a flatbed truck, but mobile home and RV, you say it means one vehicle. A lot of times you use those that are very ornate and they're like, you know, kind of like decorative.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be just plain. Sometimes people have very silver and like shiny.
Doesn't matter. Whatever they want.
Whatever works.
As long
as it has a parchment in it.
As long as it has a parchment.
You don't actually need the box, do you?
No, you don't really need the box. I mean, in Eretz Yisrael, some people, you know, their din is you can have it in the wall itself, and as long as it's noticeable and it's not, and it's within the tefach of the depth, it's not too deep in, and it's noticeable. But it has to be something that will stand. Usually, if you don't have it in a box, so it might not necessarily stand, you know, will fall down. So then. That's not good.
Strictly speaking, do you need a mezuzah on every door or in every bedroom or on the front door?
So in every room is considered a bias b'fnei atzmo, provided that it's big enough. It's like 7 feet 3 inches by 7 feet 3 inches, according to Rav Moshe.
And what about the kitchen?
Kitchen also.
No one lives there. It's a bias.
Yeah, but your kitchen is part of, as if it's your house. You live in all. You consider living in all the rooms.
So then why is it quite unique?
Every room is considered your house. So every room is a bias b'fnei atzmo, so it's always a mezuzah.
Isn't that contradictory? If every room is
b'fnei
atzmo, and the kitchen is
b'fnei
atzmo, you don't live in the kitchen.
No, but you can, the way we have houses today is we have a bedroom and we have a room to eat and sleep, and they're all attached. And so we consider living in all of them, even though we actually only sleep in certain rooms.
What about a garage?
A garage, you assume that you need a mezuzah, since it's like storage. You know, if it's you keep things in it, storage. So some say that that's called the beis otzer.
Okay.
Do you need it in your office? Like, let's say you have an office. Not like you work for like a company or whatever, and you have your own individual office. Do you need premises on
the office in your house or an office in the
in a big office building? But you spend considerable amount of time.
Yeah, so technically there are some people that know to do it, but technically you don't need it.
It's
not obligated.
In your house though, you're like, you know, like a the library,
right? Because it's all, even though strictly speaking, you're saying you don't sleep there or eat there, but everything in the house is considered connected, so to speak. You see, Mizmah Chazal in the house was one big room that was partitioned off, or you know, they didn't have what we have today, all these different rooms. It was one big room. And everyone, and they wanted to divide it for different purposes, they would make a curtain or something like that.
Can the parsha be written out of order? It's being done in order.
Yes, I'm going to. He's going to bring that. In other words, you write it in order. So if you know the fellow before you, he told you it was good, and you rely on him, it's okay. If it's somebody you have no clue of who they are, so then you should check it. Sure.
And if you don't know,
then you should check it.
And the dorm is one realizing why you that they're keeping them.
Yeah.
Archway into a city need a mezuzah?
Yeah, so an archway into a city needs a mezuzah if the city is Rov Yisrael. Some holder, David Feinstein, told me he thought you need even Kol Yisrael, but I'll just say Rov Yisrael is enough. But the old city, I don't think it's Rov Yisrael. The old city of
Yisrael.
Right. The question is, are they really chayim?
What about hotels that are owned by Jews?
Right, so a hotel that's owned by a Jew, so usually, but who's living there?
Anybody,
right.
You don't know, it could be Jewish.
Nobody's really living there for more than 30 days anyways.
Right.
Technically, the Jew owns it for most of it.
Right, and he's not living there. And people who are...
No, they're staying for a week most.
Right.
There's no real permanent residence.
Right. And even if they would stay there for a month, we said, the Avni Nathan says that the reason for more than 30 days is because it looks like you own it, which wouldn't necessarily apply to a hospital and maybe not even to a hotel. Unless, you know, you have these hotels where they mamish rent out rooms.
Yeah,
so there you have people who have like old age places.
Mm-hmm.
So the imam is like renting that. That. It's like rent, it's like renting an apartment.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Oh. It's like renting the apartment. Were you the one who asked about the order? Who asked about the order? You did. Chasav shalo ala seder fil shachach melukta lo sachas psula. Even if you forget one letter and you want to go back, it's no good. Ve'en la takhan, ve'en tzarech lo mikdim parsha of the parsha. Then tzrichat sirtut, in klasa below sirtut psula. Okay. What else? It's also a question of which way you put the mezuzahs. Because you put the mezuzah on the right going into the room. But then the question is, what's called the right? Because from the perspective of coming here to the hallway, that's the right. From the perspective of the hallway in here, so coming into the room. Like Knesset. In other words, when you come out, that's not called Knesset. We don't say you're going into the hallway, you say you're going out of the room. So you go on the right coming into the room.
Well, let's say you've got your dining room and your living room are connected just by whatever, an arch or something, or a door. So you're not going from to a hall, you're going to another room. So which room? Is there like a room that takes precedence over?
Well, it's usually what's the flow of traffic. So you have three rooms in a row, so what's the flow? You go from A, B, C, or you go from C, B, A. Whatever the flow of traffic is, that's the flow of the way it resumes.
So you can go either way.
So if it's, you have to see which you go more for. Because you might do both ways, but one might be more frequent than the other. So whatever's more frequent, then that's the way the resumes go.
And store doesn't need
a store. So, you mean a store that you sell things in? Yeah, so technically speaking, it doesn't. There's some that are machmir to put it up, but technically speaking, since you don't live there, mezuzahs chovos adar, you have to live there.
In all these places that you mentioned that don't need a mezuzah, are you allowed to?
So that's a good question.
And where are you now?
Well, anyway, there's a discussion whether it's considered a bizayon to put it up. Like, if you just put it up in the middle of nowhere, you know, some say you can do this. And it's a mistake that you shouldn't.
Like an arch to the city, I don't know why that's like in the middle of
nowhere. No, that's a din in the Gemara. Gemara says in Yuma, David Aleph, that the archway of a city requires a mezuzah. Even though no one lives in the street in the city, but when you go into the archway of the city, that leads into the streets, which lead into the home.
Do a lot of cities in Israel have something like that?
What?
Do a lot of cities in Israel have something?
No, because most cities in Israel are not walled cities. It has to be a walled city.
Yeah, put all the gates of Yerushalayim do?
Yeah, the gates of Yerushalayim technically are not really chayav because you need at least Rav Yisrael. There's not a Rav Yisrael there.
So where are you in that? We don't put it on the design bathroom.
Yeah, but that's considered a bizarre.
What other instances are
there? No, that's considered a...
What if it's on the, like a bathhouse? What about the bathhouse? There's no toilet.
Yeah, so, in other words...
A sauna or something.
Yeah, I mean, the discussion of a place where people normally... Beis HaKiseh, Beis HaMerchatz. Beis HaTfila. As you have a room where the mikveh is. So it means that's a place where the main function of the room is people standing there without clothing. Or a Beis HaKiseh. Say, for example, a bedroom, even a married couple's bedroom, is chayav in mezuzah. Even though they're involved in things that are, to be done in front of Kisvei HaKodesh. Usually it's not a problem because the door closes and the mezuzah is on the outside. But every once in a while you have a situation where it's a married couple and the mezuzah is on the inside. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have it in the room. So and part of it, it's a given. That the couples have married life and there's a mezuzah there. So, and others say, no, you should have a double covering on it. You should put two pieces of aluminum foil around the mezuzah and then put it in the case with kavana that you want it to be an obstruction between the mezuzah and the couple. I mean, again, really, you need the qualifications that we mentioned before to do it. But the mice, and. So those are the main things that we mentioned, the base merchatz, the base tefila, the base hakiseh, etc.
I wonder if people in jail, they try to get a mezuzah. Because you could probably want one, right?
That's a good question. Right. That's a question whether whether Dira Bal Korcha is considered the Dira or not. If you're forced to live in a certain place. And also the jail, you're not really renting out the place.
Does that make a difference whether you're paying or not?
You don't really own it. It's like the hospital.
If we had it from the government, you're not putting it on. You're a guest by someone for a long time.
Right, the din of socher that you have a right to stay there. If you don't have a right to stay there, then maybe not.
So a squatter wouldn't come on and say
that? Well, a legal squatter or an illegal squatter?
Illegal.
An illegal. Right. What, in someone's house? In someone's...
There's an abandoned house. Like,
isn't there like a whole thing where... Last year we studied that how if you come to a field that like nobody sort of owns and you're gonna like acquire it,
mm-hmm.
you build a hello house there or something, you have to wait on that.
Yeah. And you're saying in your case it was Shul Hefker or it belonged to somebody?
Well, let's say it's an abandoned house.
Abandoned house, so maybe you now you're wrong. I don't know. It's a good question. I think about it. Usually just not so many abandoned houses around.
What if you What if they have an arch like indent on the wall, but it's not meant as a doorpost? It's like an architectural thing.
What do you mean?
You're narrowing the entrance way, but it's not meant as a doorpost. No one ever put a door there and intended for a door to be there.
Well, you don't need a door for it to be a doorpost.
Right, but it's not even meant as a doorpost.
What is it meant?
It's an architect, you know, just narrowing and then widening.
It's a courtyard, you're saying, right?
No.
No.
Let's say you have a long
hallway.
Let's say you have a long hallway and you have an indent. Like an arch in the middle of a hallway.
Right. Some say if it's just in the middle of a hallway, there's no difference from. It's not like you're doing anything special over there. It's just a continuation, and there's no door, so it's not really a doorway. It's just maybe it's just lanoi, just as a decoration. What else?
Before I was asking about if you lived in a like mobile home or a wagon or something.
Oh yeah, right. So
maybe even a boat.
Right. So sukkos have a bayis shebesfina. We talk about a bayis shebesfina. You have a boat. And you have a home in the boat. So here it says it's potter. So the closest case is this, in the Shulchan Aruch says, Abaye Shebesfina. This is not obligated.
If you have little children or maybe animals who aren't trained.
Animals?
I mean, if you have an animal that's not trained to wait until you take it outside, or is that considered a
visa? Little children, say, you have little children who need diapers to be changed, yeah. So we still put on the visa there. Like in the little child's room. Because the room is not, it's not like a bathroom. But the room is basically a room for, well, usually little children of that age usually sleep in the same bedroom as their parents. So that's a room that's made for the dealer. This is like a bathroom. A bathroom is made for that purpose, so that. It's something that basically was made for a purpose. Maybe if it would be a, I don't know, what would it be if you had, it was made for a purpose. Because chayiv, even though some lukluk comes in, still couldn't resist it. He says, Beis HaTevin, Beis HaEitzim, and Beis HaBokar. Hayovim b'mezuzah. Okay. Pasuk says that you get arichas yomim for mezuzah, so a person should get nice mezuzahs. Sometimes you have mezuzahs that are very cheap; they're barely kosher. So you want to get something that's—you don't have to get the most expensive thing in the world. You should get something that's that's mechubad. Because the Gemara, the Rashi says that mezuzah is a shmirah. Mezuzah is a shmirah. You don't necessarily find that by all the other mitzvahs that we say that this thing is here to protect you. So if it's there to protect you, you want to have some good protection. So you want to have a good mezuzah that's made in a proper way. So you get. That's how Rashi writes in Pesachim. That's why the reason the chov of the mezuzah is on the socher, not the maskir. Because the socher is living there. He's the one who needs the protection.
Can you put a mezuzah on someone's house without their permission? Can you assume it's good for them?
That's a good question. In other words, you have a non-religious neighbor, and you just want to put a mezuzah there. I don't know. That's a good question. Because I don't know if they might take it down if they don't want. And they might be upset with you. So I don't know practically if that's such a thing to do, because. Technically speaking, someone puts up a mezuzah for you, and it's good. It should be good. It's not a din of zechiyah that you need das or anything. It's a mitzvah. But that's technical din. But practically, I don't know if it's necessarily the wisest thing to do.
Would you be able to say a bracha, even though it's not your house, that you're just doing it at his house?
Yeah, it's been in Shulchan Aruch. Well, call you in the says you convey a mezuzah, you make that bracha. The question: if you have a deck. In the back of your house. So if it's not 10 fucking high and it's not enclosed, then for sure you put the mezuzah going inside the house. But if it's 10 fucking high and it's enclosed, so there's a big machlokus whether you put it going onto the deck or into the house. Or the right side from the house going to the deck, so there's what to rely on in either. Some say because since you walk, if the helix is If every the hilach is mainly from outdoors, from the deck into the house, then everyone agrees to go look into the house. But usually that's not the case. Usually it's the case is the hilach is from the house to the deck. So from the house to the deck, you put it going, some say you put it going from the house to the deck. Others say that the deck is only considered tuffel to the house, so you go put it in the house. So the different opinions is what to rely on either way. Okay, everyone sing? Okay, it's good to see you all. And Rosh Hashem will continue. Shavuot Tov. Yeah, thank you for being Shulchan Aruch. Thank you, bring it back. Yeah. Mark. Who's the person? Who's the person?